I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The postseason is here.
An opportunity for our program to take another step forward, and that's the next step in the evolution of this program is to try to win the Pac-12. We've been champions of the South now 2 years in a row, and so the next step is try to get over that next hump.
They earned this opportunity. You know, had to do a lot of things, play a lot of good football teams to get to this point in time. And now it's here, and they'll be ready.
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Herbert, play action to throw, looking downfield. On toward the end zone. Touchdown! Johnny Johnson III.
Pac-12 Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour on a Monday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. It's going to be a busy week. Sprague's heading to Vietnam tomorrow morning. Pac-12 Championship is on Friday.
Should I be like annoying white tourist and
you
walk
should,
down
yeah.
the streets when I'm running in the morning? Good morning!
You totally should. Totally should. We'll have some more on the Pac-12 Championship game, obviously, as the week goes on. We're planning on having Mario Cristobal on the show on Wednesday, but we'll confirm that once we find out. So that'll be good stuff to get him on a couple days. Confirm we'll have him on Wednesday at 12:30. Let's get to the NFL whip around, though, shall we? Now, do I still start it, even though I'm... Or do you...
Yeah, no, you should start. Let's okay. not bump that trend.
Okay. Frozen tundra. You guys ready to start chanting?
Are the Raiders still going to win?
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Wow. Happened?
J-E-T-S, wow. Jets, Jets, Jets. Hey, they were in Cincinnati this weekend. What happened?
Glad for Dalton. Off the seam, it is caught for the touchdown. Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, that happened. The Bengals are no longer winless. They not only beat the Jets, they
beat
killed
the
them.
Crap out of them.
Andy Dalton said last week that he has, what was it? Like he's got a new sense of life or something after being benched.
He learned from it.
Well, there you go. The Jets are still the Jets after all that. If I ever try and bet on the Titans again, walk across here and slap me in the face. Slap me in the face.
It's blocked. It's blocked, and it's picked up on the play by Ty Smith after getting blocked on the play. By Crookshank, he'll take it the distance, and that is a score.
That's officially our team. We have to only bet on them or don't touch the game.
I know. I've learned my lesson.
Thank you. I've had like five
anymore.
Of them. It's not good.
By the way, that was Kevin Harlan of CBS Sports. First one was Spiro Dedes of CBS Sports. Let's go to another. Just going to pack all my gambling losses in here early, huh? Let's go to Miami.
The punter takes the snap. And then the toss to the end zone for the touchdown to the place kicker, Jason Sanders.
Come on. Oh, man.
So it's the punter slash holder to the kicker for a Dolphins touchdown.
I have never seen this.
That was Kenny Albert, Fox Sports. If you give up 30-plus points to the Dolphins and you lose, shouldn't your defense coordinator get fired?
You would think that would happen, but...
How? They're in the playoff chase.
Well, they kind of still are because the Cowboys also suck.
What are you doing?
Dude, they were up 14-3 at one point.
Yes, I was feeling great about my bet.
And you should have, because I took the Eagles minus the 10 as well, and
sweet
I did.
Jesus.
And yeah, when the Dolphins come back to do that, Doug Peterson, by the way, on WIP this morning, they wanted it more than us. Brother, you work in Philly, and you're a playoff-chasing team, and they're tanking. I would never publicly state that.
Got to be nice, though, as a head coach of a tanking team. You can just do whatever the hell you want, like faking random field goals. He's doing onside kicks, trick plays all the time. Like, you got nothing to lose.
Give Flores at least this, because he's got nothing else. They've played tough for like six weeks in a row. They've played tough.
They have. All right, let's go to New York, where there was a snow game.
Aaron Rodgers on third down and goal to the end zone, and it's a touchdown for Devontae Adams.
One of Sprague's winning bets, that was Tom Brennan, Fox Sports. The Packers rolled all over the New York Giants. Aaron Rodgers looked really good.
Took care of business.
Continuing on, a game that we all got wrong. Let's go to Pittsburgh.
Steelers are on the move. First down from the 30. Hodges sets the feet. Floats it upstairs. It is caught. Oh, what a grab by Washington. Touchdown, Steelers.
Yeah, Ian Eagle, CBS Sports. One of the few bets I got right in the early portion of the day was the under in that game. Did you see the apparently... Freddie Kitchens wore a Pittsburgh started shirt?
Yeah, he wore it and took it with a fan. He then was asked about it and got pissed and said, my daughters told me to put it on, to take it with a fan. It's not why we lost today. Look, it wasn't the reason you lost. But you're that coach.
Don't be that dumb.
Win a Super Bowl and wear that. Don't wear that like in the middle of a season
Does
when you're not
know
even 500.
He's actually the head coach of an NFL team.
I don't know.
I think he knows he's not going to be the head coach of an NFL team much longer.
God, that was an ugly, ugly game. Pittsburgh gets the win. They're still somehow alive in the AFC wildcard race.
Dirt, let me say this real quick. I know that game doesn't have that big of implications.
Sure.
I think Baker's entire career hinges on this next hire. They have got to find the most professional, smart mind because he needs a lot of help right now.
No doubt about it. In Carolina, another one of those head-scratching losses.
Allen. Dancing. Looking. Under pressure. Going the wrong way. Lost the football. Washington has it.
That ended it. Greg Gumbel of CBS Sports on the call. The Redskins went into Carolina and beat the Panthers. Everybody thought Kyle Allen was the guy. He loses a couple of games. Now maybe he's not. It's going to be an interesting offseason for them. Rivera coming back. What do you do with Cam Newton? Do you trust Kyle Allen? How much do you pay McCaffrey? A lot of big decisions coming for them. In Jacksonville, I finally learned my lesson and got off the Jags bandwagon. And Tampa Bay rolled them.
Short drop, and the ball is loose, and it's recovered. And it's Devin White who runs it in for the touchdown on the strip sack.
That was Dick Stockton, Fox Sports. No need to talk about that. Nick Foles did get benched, though, and Minshew Mania will probably play the rest of the season. Game of the day, though, happened in Baltimore.
Justin Tucker for the winner from 49 yards. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers. And this house is on fire. As the Ravens celebrate at midfield.
Is this Sandusky?
The fans on their feet. Exuberance. In a game between a 10-1 team and a 9-2 team. The day ends with two 10-2 teams.
That was a great game, man. That was a radio call for the Ravens, WBAL. Tucker hits the game winner, 49-yarder.
I mean, look, it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, but I walked away going, God, thank you for a great football
game.
I love the red zone. I attest to it as much as anybody else. When you give me that kind of game, the standalone, I don't care about Philly and Miami. I'll look at the box score. I watched that entire game. I thought it was really well played. And I think if we get that Super Bowl, if that happens, I don't know if people are going to be that upset. Those are two pretty evenly matched teams.
No, very evenly matched. Awesome game. Would be all for a rematch. Could have gone either way. Good rainy conditions, too. Felt like just a good classic
that
football game.
That was a playoff game, it felt like,
didn't it? No doubt about it. Two really good teams going at it. The Chargers are the gift that keeps on giving and finding new ways to lose.
Third down, Locke looking end zone for Sutton. And the diving attempt. Did he get it? Touchdown! What a catch! The first NFL touchdown for Drew Locke, and his parents love it in Denver.
By the way, much better catch than throw on that one to Sutton. Sutton's been a beast for them. That was a one-handed dive. You tweeted something, so I didn't see the end of this game. Okay. I had to get ready for my trip, and I'm like, I don't care about Denver
the
Chargers.
The afternoon game sucked yesterday.
They've always sucked.
Yeah.
You tweeted Chargers do this the most Charger way or whatever. What happened? I missed it.
Oh, you missed this?
I missed it, yeah.
So the Chargers scored, I want to say, with 30 seconds left to tie. They kicked a game-tying field goal to make it 20-20, I believe, was the score. They kick it off to Denver, and the announcers are just Drew Locke just going to take a knee, right? You just take a knee, 30 seconds left. They had maybe one timeout left, so no timeouts, whatever the scenario was. They're like, just going to take a knee on it. They come out in a shotgun formation. They're like, oh. Apparently the Denver Broncos are going to try something here. Drew Locke just drops back, basically throws a Hail Mary down the right side of the field. pass interference, spot of the foul call, giving the Broncos the ball at the 30 or whatever yard line, game-winning field goal. And it was a bogus PI call. The receiver basically, you can watch him, he jumps into the DB.
He pulls a hard.
And they throw the flag. I mean, there's nothing else you're going to do there. And the DB's like raising his hands like, what do you want for me? Game-winning field goal. After the Chargers drove the whole length of the field, they had a miracle fourth down conversion. They tie it up, going to overtime. Chargers lose.
Charger fan, I got a question for you.
It's so brutal, man. It's every week.
You have much worse teams in the league. I don't know. How are you doing this? How do you go and do this every single week?
I saw the number. They've lost like every one of their games this year by like 7 points or like they're all right there.
They're a playoff worthy team and their record indicates that they're just having these moments too often.
Unbelievable.
Do you blame the head coach? This has been going on for a decade.
Right. It doesn't matter who their coach is. They always find a new way to lose, man. It's nuts. All right, moving on. Three more games to get to. Thanks for showing up, Arizona.
Couple of number one overall picks for the end zone touchdown. Cooper Kupp. Goff delivers to his favorite receiver.
What the hell, man? Chris Myers at Fox Sports. They like doubled the Cardinals up in yards. They won the game 34-7 was the final. I want to get this number exactly. Total yards 549 for the Rams, 198 for the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray was asked what happened. He goes, you know, coming off the bye was a lot harder than I thought. I this is, truth be told, I almost picked this in my spring line.
The Cardinals to win?
And then I said, I feel much more confident that Green Bay is going to kill the Giants. And when I watched the beginning of that Cardinal game, I went, oh, I'm so glad I avoided this crap storm.
Well, from one game that you almost picked to a game that I somehow almost picked, Oakland was in Kansas City.
Now at the 13. Joyner missed a couple of plays. He's back out. Looking. Wide open field. Wide open for Mahomes. He high steps it in for the touchdown. His first rush touchdown of the season.
That put the AFC on notice, didn't it? Jim Nantz, CBS Sports. Oakland finally scored. They went like 8 straight quarters without scoring a touchdown. They got one in garbage time, which then was funny because after they scored their garbage time touchdown to make it 38-9, they threw, I believe, a pick on the 2-point conversion that the Chiefs ran back the other way for a 2-point conversion. So that happened. But the Chiefs putting the AFC on notice a little bit yesterday. The
Chiefs looked really good. Give them that credit for coming off the bye. Josh Jacobs was really good. He was dealing with everything. And Derek Carr.
Yeah, what the hell?
What's been happening to you the last few weeks? Because he looked awful yesterday.
Really, really bad. Last but not least, it's always a good day when New England loses. Now
first and goal. This drive began back at their 25. Another long drive. This one's consumed over 5 minutes.
Got him, go!
5 runs, 3 passes. A little trickery here. Hopkins and more trickery to Watson. Touchdown. Oh, baby. Like a 4x100 relay.
Oh, baby.
God, Al Michaels is the best, isn't he? NBC Sports. They had a great call last night.
Imagine that was Al Michaels doing dirty talk.
Oh, baby. She's
Take
using her thumb.
Take it off. Take it off.
If you missed that play, it was like a basically double reverse. They got it to Hopkins, who then pitched it in an option to Deshaun Watson for a touchdown. And Houston, big win over New England last night, Sunday Night Football.
Look, you and I have taken a lot of crap for this, but we have been on the Tom Brady's not very good train. I do think Tom Brady's at a point in his career that he does need help, and I think that's kind of what he's been saying to the media, but yet everybody just goes, well, Tom Brady's not good anymore. It's like, well, I think he's still good. He just needs help. He can't make guys good anymore, right? He doesn't have that quality, and this is part of the aging process.
I put him in a retirement home.
However, how many years in a row has this storyline played out? Patriots, unstoppable, dominant, historic.
I know.
Patriots suck. Brady done. Count them out. And then you know what comes next? They win their last 3 games. They get right to the AFC Championship game. I've seen this story too many times to be doing what ESPN does every year and trot out every segment to talk about how New England's over.
Yeah, somebody texted me, you think it's hard being a Charger fan? Try being a Lion fan over the last few decades. That is true.
No, I know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know your team's going to suck.
Exactly.
Charger fans, like, we're good enough to win. And
there's at least hope there.
We and come then, close and never get it done.
That's what happens. Okay, there you go. NFL whip around. We usually do it at 1. We moved it back today because there was just too much to get to in college football. I got a couple leftover NFL storylines. It was a really good weekend outside of a couple of snoozer games that we need to talk about, including should one division be banned from the playoffs this year. We also need to get into the Monday Night Football game, which we'll do a little bit later, and some poll questions still to get to. But some more meat on the NFL bone next on The Fan. By the way, can we confirm, is Adam Thielen playing tonight or is he not playing tonight?
So Swag's updates say yes, but I could have swore
I saw something more else. I saw something earlier in the morning that
so
said
he's
that
out?
He's out.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to make sure because I saw that and I was like, I irrationally feel confident about Minnesota tonight for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there before.
And when I found out he...
I know that feeling well.
I've been in that corner a long time.
I may or may not have put a bet on them +3.5 tonight.
Is it at half?
On the scoreboard it was this morning.
That's pretty nice. But I saw Thielen out and I go, why do I still think they're going to somehow win this? I'm an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Russell Wilson, they're going to win this game.
They don't lose that game. They don't lose that game.
They don't lose this game.
But you know who else doesn't lose to Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he doesn't lose. Bill Belichick doesn't lose that game. And then they lost.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, there's a chance.
By the way, I said that on Friday. I was like, I'm taking Houston.
We're on to Kansas City.
And then
they get the Chiefs next week.
Yeah,
I cowered out. I switched my pick.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I lost most of my bets during the day, and then I made them all back on a Houston Sunday night bet. We're going big, baby.
Yeah, you got to go big on Sunday night if your bets have sucked.
Come on, you got to make that money back, right? I do have a quick take on the NFL weekend, and first and foremost, is there some sort of like change.org petition that we can pass to keep the NFC East out of the playoffs this year?
You know, I'm with you on that. Dallas nor Philly deserves it, and the best team might be Washington right now. So I think that speaks to everything that division currently is.
Did you know that the Washington Redskins are not out of playoff contention
yet? They are not mathematically eliminated, huh?
If they went out and the Eagles, there was a scenario, literally somebody tweeted it earlier. If they went out, they would finish the year 7-9. And you would need the Eagles to basically finish like 1-3 beating the Cowboys, and the Cowboys, you know. But there is a scenario in which the Washington Redskins at 7-9 can win the NFC East.
7-9, not unprecedented.
No, it's not. The Seahawks did it 1 year. But look,
I hate the BS rule, though, that they get to host a playoff game.
I'm with you 100%.
Because think about this for a second. I mean, you legitimately could end up getting, I don't know what the top, the top wild card seed will end up being. Minnesota's 8-3.
Minnesota was the last one. I think it was.
They were, yeah.
Seahawks right now.
Seahawks
in Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. Seahawks are 5, and then Seattle wins, and then it's going to be San Francisco,
right,
and then Minnesota. Yeah. If Minnesota wins tonight, I still think. I mean, you have a 3-loss team as the bottom wild card team.
You could have a 13-3 team being
having
the
to go
first
to Dallas
wild card.
Or you could have a team with 12 or 13 wins having to go to
it's
Dallas
so
or Philly.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe the NFL hasn't nipped this in the bud yet. And here's another part of it. Our boss, she's a huge Seahawks fan.
Yeah, she's always running her mouth against the 49ers.
Yeah, so we trash talk once in a while, but we were talking today about how if Seattle wins tonight, that sets up that matchup with San Francisco in a few weeks to be even bigger. And then we ran down the scenario of what if it ends up tied.
Which could happen because if the 49ers are to lose this coming weekend.
If the Seahawks lose tonight, right, and then the Niners.
Then it's different. If the Seahawks lose tonight and then the Niners win, that's a different. But I think if you're assuming Seattle wins tonight, they have identical records at 10-2. And the 49ers losses would have been to Seattle and to Baltimore. The scenario that we played out is if San Francisco, they're in New Orleans next weekend, which is a very tough game again for them. So you could have the 49ers, if they lose that game and then beat Seattle in the last week of the season, both teams at 13-3 with identical losses.
Yeah.
Because the Seahawks would have lost to the Ravens, the Saints, and the 49ers.
Yep.
And the 49ers would have lost to the Ravens, the Saints, and the Seahawks.
So we ran down that scenario. There's 12 different options on the NFL.com website that lists how you figure out who the division winner is. Sorry about that. And we ran down them all, and we're like, same.
Right.
And eventually, I think we got to like the 7th or 8th one, and there was a difference there. But it goes all the way to 12. You know what the 12th one is? It's a freaking coin toss. So you're telling me if the Seahawks and Niners take care of business from here on out and somehow end up tied or whatever it takes to be tied, and they run down all these scenarios, you could be looking at a 12-win Seattle or San Francisco team who, if they lose a 50-50 coin toss, then has to go play a garbage-ass Cowboy Philadelphia team.
Right.
That is so unfair. That is ridiculous. That is unfair.
Yep.
Yeah, but the Seahawks are undefeated on the road.
They are.
It's still not fair,
Swagger. It's still not fair.
It's still not fair. That would actually make the argument even more ridiculous that the Cowboys should be hosting that game and not Seattle hosting the Cowboys.
Right. If you want to say a division winner gets into the playoffs, I'm fine. But this whole you got to host.
You got to host?
You have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That was my thought yesterday was we need to ban the NFC East from the playoffs, please. The other two that I had, I know you briefly brought it up in the last segment. New England's offense is a major concern. Like, is it acceptable for most people to acknowledge that right now? It doesn't mean that they can't win the Super Bowl because of the analogy we use.
They won it last year on offense.
Exactly. I mean, they won that game scoring 10 points, right? Yeah. They won with defense, and we've seen Denver do it in the past with an old Peyton Manning. Like, I don't know how anybody watches that game outside of their garbage time touchdowns that they scored, and then they put a little scare into Houston late in that game. That was where the majority of Brady's yards and completions and touchdowns came from. Like, they got issues, man. You take away Edelman, you take away James White. There's not a deep threat right now. Maybe it's N'Keal Harry. Maybe Sanu develops, but Brady looks a little old. They're not dominant on that side of the ball. When they play some of these legitimate teams, it raises a lot of red flags.
Well, and he's also, I think Tom, maybe this year more than some others, he's been very vocal about frustrations, right?
Yes.
He was pretty adamant yesterday. He was kind of yelling at some wide receivers. There was big miscommunications. Their timing didn't seem on. And you mentioned one of the names you mentioned. I'm glad. I thought it was a home run trade when they gave up a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu. And that has been nothing but a flop. I mean, what's his biggest production? 2-3 catches? That guy has done next to nothing for them. And I know he's banged up. He's got an ankle injury. But when you're out there, injured or not, the expectation is that you're good enough to play and you're good enough to produce. Otherwise, you shouldn't be on the friggin' field. And that trade has killed them. Releasing Josh Gordon and giving up on him, I still would like to know the backstory there.
Sure.
They wanted to basically sit him on IR, and he clearly has been healthy enough to play. And, you know, he hasn't lit the world on fire with stats, but he's been pretty big for the Seahawks on a lot of possessions for them. You just let him walk. And then even Antonio Brown. Look, I'm not saying what they did was wrong. I'm glad they took a stance. But you have largely been a franchise that's been stuck in controversy for over a decade. And now suddenly, because a questionable player does some dumb things, you're completely out. The line of what's acceptable and what's not in New England, it's a little blurry to me. And I think a large part of that releasing of Antonio Brown dirt was because their owner just got busted at a happy ending joint.
Sure, it's a mind your P's and Q's, please.
Right. Otherwise, I think they're probably more than willing to just go, oh, okay, those texts are pretty ugly. He shouldn't be doing that. But it's the New England way. Brady and Belichick, according to his reports, both were advocating to keep him. That was a Robert Kraft decision.
Yeah.
So,
look,
I still am terrified of him. I've heard,
yeah,
I've seen
still the
this.
Patriots, yeah.
But there absolutely is problems with them. Brady looks as old as ever. And I don't know when it's going to start changing. They need guys like Dorsett to get healthy, and they need Mohamed Sanu to play and actually
N'Keal
make
Harry
an impact.
Show up all of
N'Keal
a sudden.
N'Keal Harry has struggled mightily for them, and they
Since
thought
coming
that coming
back.
Into the year.
Yeah, you mentioned Sanu's numbers. He had 10 catches for 81 yards in that loss to Baltimore. Outside of that, he had 2 catches against Cleveland, 2 catches against Philly, 3 catches last night. And he did not play against the Cowboys. He missed that game with an injury. So
you didn't trade a second-round draft pick to have catch game.
Yeah. The only other takeaways I had, I don't know if there's anything else that stood out to you. I thought the big winners of the weekend, just reminding people, and granted, they both beat bad teams, so I'll be fair here, but was Kansas City and the way that they've dominated Oakland, just kind of reminding people like, hey, we're here. Like, we were a couple plays away from the Super Bowl last year. We still have this guy named Mahomes. We're a good team. And they've had some ups and downs this year, but at 8-4, they got a chance against New England next week to really prove it. And then I thought that Green Bay got their ass kicked on Sunday Night Football. And again, the Giants suck, so take it with a grain of salt. But I thought that was a big, don't let it be a hangover. Go out and dominate the Giants the way you should.
I think that's the most important part is you just don't allow the teams to beat you twice.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I trust the Kansas City defense quite yet. I think, you know, facing New England offense might be good for them. And then even Green Bay, I loved the chances of them killing the Giants because the Giants suck, and you can't play much worse than that in San Francisco. They still have some prove-it games, right? Like Patrick Mahomes, still dangerous, wouldn't want to face him the postseason. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. But if you keep playing good teams and you're not on the victorious side of that, I'm going to kind of walk away thinking, all right, I don't know how much I really trust you come postseason.
Very fair. It's a big one for that division tonight, by the way, because the Green Bay Packers already have, they're tied, I think, win-loss-wise right now with 3 losses. If Minnesota's to win tonight, they keep pace. But if Minnesota loses tonight, they have that game lead on them in the next couple of weeks. Green Bay gets Washington at home, and then they get the Bears at home. So a manageable schedule before they go to Minnesota that could end up deciding the game. It's a Monday night game later in the season. We'll get to that Monday night football game coming up to close out the show. It should be a good one, hopefully, if Minnesota can show up in primetime in Seattle. It's, of course, going to be right here on The Fan. So we'll dive into that a little bit. I do want to start getting into the poll questions, though, because some of them pertain to Peterson and the Civil War, the two big topics of the day. So we'll start to do that coming up next. Oh, this is fantastic. We'll get to the poll questions in a moment. One of the crazier games of college football. Now, I missed it. I think you missed it, too. We were both in Eugene for the Civil War. But going on at the same time was the Iron Bowl.
I caught the very beginning of it.
Like, did you?
Like the festivities, and then I walked to the stadium.
Well, Auburn beat Alabama, in case you're wondering. There were great photos, by the way, of fans trying to rush the field and getting lost in the hedges.
Yeah, one gal disappeared completely.
She disappeared in the hedge.
And they got fined.
They did get fined.
They got fined for rushing the field $250,000.
$250,000.
Wow.
I'm sure Gus Malzahn might be willing to write that check.
Yeah. Until
they want to fire him next year.
I didn't know Tua play defense, by the way, man. Their defense looked really bad yesterday.
No. But that's one of the best four teams in the country.
Okay.
They had two really close losses against the two teams they played on their schedule.
It was so funny. All I heard all year was about how bad Auburn's offense is and how good Alabama is. And Auburn's offense, just they scored almost 50 points against them.
I believe.
Well, the defense scored twice.
Okay, well, fair enough. But still, they almost hung 50 on them.
I believe it was Feinbaum, who on ESPN a few weeks back said, yeah, once Alabama destroys Auburn, and they will beat Auburn. And now today he's come out and talked about how the dynasty's over.
Is he going that route? The dynasty's done?
He's quite literally everything I don't like about sports media. Let me do whatever I can.
He's a douche.
And say things that I don't believe, and then people will just retweet it.
This is funny, though. So the Dean Joe Estrup? Sure.
Excuse you?
I don't even know what you just said.
He's the dean of Auburn.
Birthkit Skimfop.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. He's their dean. He's the dean at Auburn.
Don't you badmouth Nurkic's girlfriend.
They have final exams coming up in the next 2 weeks. We all know that. Final exams right around the corner for everybody. They released this statement. The dean of Auburn released this statement. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Quote.
You need to do it with a draw.
It is undeniable that when every second counts, Auburn men and women make great things happen. Under Coach Malzahn's leadership, student athletes have twice proven the difference that 1 second can make. In the spirit of continued success, I hereby authorize professors and instructors to add 1 second to the allotted times for next week's final exams.
1 second?
Because at the end of the first half, at the end of the first half, he went down. They put a second back on the clock. Auburn kicks the field goal. Nick Saban lost his ass and was throwing
Nick Saban was crying.
That is a fantastic troll
job. Isn't that great? The dean came out and said, you get one more second on all your finals. God, I love that. I don't know who had the worst meltdown over the weekend.
It was Saban.
It was Saban.
But did you see Dabo Sweeney? Now, we're not going to get to this today. I'm saving this for myself tomorrow.
I'll let you go.
He is such a douche.
He's a super douche. He came out and ESPN.
I think his meltdowns are contrived.
Right, but he had a thing basically saying they don't want him in the playoffs.
They don't want us in the playoffs.
Shut your mouth.
Everybody said we couldn't do it. Nobody said you couldn't do it.
Saban's meltdowns are honest to goodness. He's beside himself and can't believe that the rest of the world is not at the level of football enlightenment that he is. That's why I love him so much.
God, that is fantastic. I love the level of trolling that goes into something like that. So Auburn won the Iron Bowl over the weekend. Thankfully, we can.
Are there 1 second t-shirts, or what are the t-shirts in Auburn? Are they already printed?
They better have t-shirts that say all we need is 1 second. So many different meanings with that t-shirt.
Tell you name, man, I was satisfied. So Auburn beats Alabama over the weekend. Elsewhere in the rivalry games, Jim Harbaugh, in case you needed a note, still can't beat Ohio State.
So you and I feel like, could be wrong here.
Sure.
I feel like we've been pretty reasonable and given some nuance to the Jim Harbaugh thing. When does not winning this game, though, trump everything else of, you know, the winning 10 games multiple times? Look, he is a great coach. I do think he gets just destroyed far too often. Dude, you're setting history now. Like, even some of the crappy coaches they've had have at least beaten Ohio State.
Yeah, to be fair, Ohio State's probably the best that they've ever been.
I don't disagree
like
with that.
This run of the last 6-7 years, that's, I mean, contending against Ohio State could very well win the national championship.
I know, but look, you chose your quarterback too, right?
Like he did. I know.
He's
I'm not,
put himself in this position a little bit.
There's no doubt. I mean, at some point, you're going to get there. I don't know how many years it takes. I still contend what better can Michigan do than this?
Right.
You're not going to go hire Nick Saban to come to Michigan away from Alabama. Dabo's not leaving. Like, you're not just going to go be able to snap your fingers and beat Ohio State. The worst thing that happened to him was Justin Fields, man. Justin Fields transferring away from Georgia and then being granted immediate eligibility at Ohio State changed the whole landscape of their season. Their quarterback would have been Tate Martell, who's not good enough to start at Miami.
He's barely with the team. There
he's
was
like
a report
wide
last
receiver.
Week that he wasn't with the team.
He's like not even there anymore.
And he's like, I'm still on the roster. I'm just, dealing with some stuff.
Right. So if that happens, Ohio State is 8-4 right now, and Michigan probably wins. Well, I guess they lost to Penn State, so maybe they wouldn't.
Or they have Joe Burrow.
Or exactly, right? True. Maybe Joe Burrow.
But my point is, Dirt, this. And I'm guilty of it too. This was the year we all said
it was, man.
Ryan Day. Now you don't have an Urban problem anymore. And give Ryan Day credit for this. Defensively, they got better. Right, like Chase Young gets a lot of the defensively as a group. They are solid, and that was dominance on Saturday.
They gave up 56 points, man. Oof, they gave up almost 600 total yards of offense.
Did he get booed when he walked off the field? I didn't see the end.
I don't know. I know he lost his ass with a reporter after the game. Wasn't quite as bad as Mike Leach after the Apple Cup, but he had one of those frustration moments being asked.
Ooh, I missed the Mike Leach. What
you
happened?
You missed that on Friday?
I missed it, yeah.
Oh, is that in the system? Did they play that this morning?
Mike Leach went off, huh?
Oh, he lost it on Friday.
Well, he probably really wanted to be Jimmy Lake this year after what happened last year, and then you get destroyed again. It tends to weigh on you.
Right when you thought, too, they were up 10-7 in the game, kind of thinking this could be their year. Huskies are down.
When they came on that opening drive and got a touchdown, I thought, boy, Dirt and Swag kind of called this one.
Yikes, that didn't end up well. We'll see if that's in the system. We'll play it on the other side. So that was basically your glance at the rivalry weekend. Auburn got a big win over Alabama, which thankfully knocked Alabama out of the playoff race. Ohio State continues to be dominant over Michigan. Didn't get to the poll question, so we need to start doing those. We got a bunch of them we need to answer. Sprague has to give his hot pick for the Pac-12 championship game. Okay, I'll give you the line right now. You can have today's line on the game, okay? You got to pick the game, and then we'll get you all set for Monday Night Football. That's where we'll close up next on The Fan. In a moment of an old soul not knowing who a young person is and a young person not knowing who an old person is, I saw this trending on Twitter. I don't want it to distract us, so I just want to lay it out there.
Okay.
I will start by saying I don't know who Billie Eilish is.
She's basically the new Justin Bieber.
Okay.
She's the biggest... I don't know if she's technically pop, but radio commercial-wise, like my niece is really into her. She's 12.
Okay.
She's the new Bieber.
She's apparently 17 years old.
Yeah.
I say that sometimes and people don't believe me. I genuinely don't know who she is. Okay? I think I've heard the name before, but no clue. Anyway, she was on with Jimmy Kimmel recently, a couple days ago maybe, and he was rattling off old musicians and what her thoughts were on older musicians. She does not know who Van Halen is.
It's a bit of a problem when you work in the music industry to not know. It's one thing for me to be an idiot and go, who's Van Halen?
Who the hell's that?
It's another to be in the music industry.
Like a pop star.
Making millions of dollars and not have an idea of who Van Halen is.
So I thought that was interesting. And if there's any old folks out there who love Van Halen and want to get upset, there's a 17-year-old pop star who doesn't know who Van Halen is. That's the world we're living in.
So the one, it's not a real negative, but the one thing about this industry is I once in a while get people that are like, hey, you get ticks? Hey, can I get some ticks? And my niece doesn't ever ask for anything. She goes, hey, can you get Billie Eilish tickets? And I go, I'll ask about when he's in town. And she goes, Billie Eilish is a girl. And I was like,
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Still don't think I've heard one song from her, but I just know her name and that
she's
huge.
All right, you need to make your Pac-12 pick, okay? You ready for this?
I kind of don't want to. I want to end.
No, you got to make your pick.
Being
it's
undefeated.
A championship game, and I'll give
you've
even...
already told us you're not texting crap in.
Yeah,
from
so you got to make your pick. You're immune from bowl games. And
Southeast
we won't...
Asia.
You're above 500. You know what you're like right now? I did this with my handicap at the end of the summer.
You stopped golfing.
I finally got below 10, and then football season started, and I was like, hey, I'm single digits. I'm just going to take a break for a while so I can stay in the single digits.
All right,
that's what you're pulling. The Vegas consensus line right now is 6.5.
I'll take the Ducks plus 6.5.
Say it.
I think Oregon's going to win the game outright. I really do.
Yeah, you said that before the show. You shocked me a little
people
bit.
People think I'm crazy. I know Utah's playing great football right now, but there's something about writing off a football team that I think is pretty evenly matched against its opponent the way that people are doing with Oregon-Utah. you tell me Utah wins and I find out in Vietnam, I'm not going to be shocked, but I really think legitimately their defense is going to play really well. And look, Utah's had some big games. They got to the Pac-12 title game last year. The one thing that they've kind of struggled with being in the Pac-12, they've been a game away from that one next level. And even though this year they got to the conference championship game, I still kind of need to see it a little bit. Whittingham's an amazing coach.
Okay.
But I'm actually going to go Ducks plus 6.5 there.
All right. I got Sprague's pick down. We'll see where the line goes as the week goes on. We'll get different odds.
If it gets over to 7, you've got to take that.
Yeah. Okay, let's rattle through some poll questions quickly. Who wins Friday? Sprague just made his pick. 54% of people are going with Utah to win the conference. We'll have some more on that as the week goes on. Chris Peterson stepping down. You guys can answer this one. Where will he coach next? Your options, the NFL, USC, another big college football program, or he's retiring?
Well, is this immediately or eventually?
Just where will he coach next? Not in like an advisory role for the Huskies. Just where is his next coaching job?
Another big college coaching gig.
Okay. So you say not USC, not the NFL, just another big gig. Okay.
Somewhere else. Texas.
Oh, that's not good.
Because I think Herman gets one more year. He'll have his year off. He'll feel good. And then he'll get that Herm itch and he'll go, I can do this. And you give him Texas?
Ooh, okay.
I think he's retired from big time football. He could go backwards.
Yeah, I thought the Fetter's point was interesting on that. Of could he go to like a UC, just go coach a small program,
or does he go back to Boise?
That's what I. If Carson doesn't keep things rolling, I could totally see him going back there.
Interesting. 35% of people said USC. 29% said he's retiring. 20% said another big college program. 16%
I don't think he wants any part of the mess that's going to be USC for whoever takes that over.
Yeah, if he's leaving UW, that's tough.
If he retires too, I think there is something to be commended of a guy maybe just going, I don't need to keep doing this. I can afford to have a good life and leave some money for my family.
I've accomplished a ton. I'm a successful coach. I had two great programs. Like, I'll be an advisor. I'm just going to hang around. I'm good to go. And then last but not least, we have two more to go here. Oregon State, their season came to an end, 5-7 on the year. What will their record be next season? Your options are 8-4 or better, 6-6 or 7-5, aka they're going bowling, 5-7 again, or 4-8 or worse.
This is tough for me. I do think there's positive momentum. I will lean 6, but if you say it's 5-7.
Okay. What's their non-conference schedule next year?
They got Oklahoma State. They get Colorado State and Portland State at home.
Yeah, you could be Colorado State. I mean, you could be 2-1, and then depending on how things shape up for that game, maybe you come closer than what you were at the beginning of the year when you took on the Cowboys. Look, I somebody made a good point at the text line. And we do this all the time. We don't think about the next season like for what's ahead of them. We more just go, well, you were better than I thought, so you should be better than this.
Like it just works like that, obviously. Yeah.
Their schedule is going to be harder.
Yeah, Oklahoma State on the road. They're at ASU, at Stanford, at Utah, at Washington. Then, of course, you got Oregon and Wazoo at home, Cal at home.
Yeah, so if Leach doesn't leave, I'm assuming Washington State's still going to have a great quarterback no matter. I am assuming Stanford can't get worse than what they were this year as a non-bowl team.
UW could be better next year.
Washington could be better. I mean, some of these teams could improve, and there is a chance you're sitting smack dab same position in 2020 going, they were 5-7 this year. But that doesn't also have to be a negative.
No.
Let me point that out for Beaver fan. Next year, if they're at 5 wins and their season's done, you don't have to bitch and moan. You can go, we won a game 3 years ago. One game. Now I've had back-to-back 5 wins, and then I think in year 4, you would hope year 4 is when you go 7-5, maybe flirt with 8 wins.
I think 6-6, 7-5 is probably, because if you look back, they had opportunities to win 2 or 3 games in addition to what they did. I think the experience, another year, everybody on the same page, if they're in that same position again, they get 1 or 2 of those to be the difference.
Yeah, that's where I answered as well. 71% of people went there. The other thing to watch with them in the offseason is where do they go at quarterback? Because Jebbia, there's been some rumblings down there that they haven't been overly impressed by him.
I've seen some stuff on the Twitter sphere. They're looking at a JC quarterback.
JC quarterback, Jack Sears, the USC kid. Yeah. A lot of people think he's close to committing to Oregon State, so we'll see where they go at quarterback. And then last but not least, I'm assuming we're all on the same page here. If LSU beats Georgia this weekend and both Utah and Oklahoma win, who gets the number 4 playoff spot? Utah or Oklahoma?
Utah.
Utah.
Okay. 77% of people said Utah. Yeah. Monday Night Football, you got the Vikings?
I do have the Vikings. And yep. If you have +3.5, I love that line.
I'm all over Minnesota.
Oh. Mr. Against Minnesota on Thursday is now suddenly on the Minnesota train.
I needed that reverse energy for a couple of days.
I'm in first class. You remember this, and you're in coach right now.
Well, I got to jump in a Willamette River when you get back, so that'll be fun.
We'll do that in January.
I'll put on an Oregon State shirt or something and go jump in the river.
Hey, man, you keep it up. Have a great show. Great shows, I should say. And I will see you guys on the other side.
We'll see you after Christmas, man. Have a good trip. Yeah.
Yep.
Eat a lot of crazy food.
Oh, I will.
Safe travels.
Safe travels.
Yeah, that's the biggest one for me.
Yeah, good luck
can
on the plane.
Can you at least shoot a text that you arrived somehow? Get word to us, please.
I can't. Are you going to be on Instagram?
No.
Is your wife going to be on Instagram?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Me, no.
Okay. What do we like Stevie? Feel good about Stevie?
Yeah, this is a good vibe.
I like Steve. And Stevie's always a good vibe.
I feel like Stevie and Earth, Wind is kind of what we're aiming for here.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what Little Michael and the Five were.
Little Michael. All right, that'll do it for us. The Seahawks pregame show coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Have a great vacation. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. But here's some of music's pioneers.
That time will not allow us to forget. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.